It's just great to be able to worship God together and to have a bit of fun and to start to wear ourselves out, isn't it? As I said at the beginning of the service, today we're looking at that story of Jesus reinstating Peter. But before we get directly into that story, I felt it was right we talked a bit about forgiveness. Forgiving others. Do you know that Lord's Prayer? It says, forgive me as I forgive those who sin against us. Do you know that part?
Yeah.
We're quite happy to receive forgiveness, but aren't we happy to forgive others? In our culture, it pushes us to be non-forgiving. It pushes us to make sure that we get revenge, we get justice. And we see this in the wars of across the world, don't we, at the moment? One person does something, so we need to make sure we get justice. Irrespective of the rights and wrongs, we need to be seen not to lose face. And as we look at movies on our TV, whether that's Dirty Harry, Rambo's or others, there's always this, we've got to get vengeance. However, for the Christian, the failure to forgive should be unforgivable, unthinkable. The failure to forgive should be unthinkable. Because whatever the issue, whatever the offense, not forgiving is a blatant act of dishonesty, disagreement with the commands that God gives. You see, Jesus, when he was being talking about forgiveness, somebody says, well, how many times have I got to forgive? Parents will know this, won't you? My child is driving me mad. How many times have I got to forgive them? But many of us also, when we're talking with others, we're getting fed up. And how many times have I got to forgive? And Jesus is quite clear. You say seven, I say 70 times seven. Now, you might think, well, that's only 490. And start to keep a tally. But as soon as you start to keep a tally, you've not forgiven once. You've not forgiven once. And I want to just look at this from the negative side. If we look at what happens when we don't forgive, maybe you know somebody who hasn't forgiven somebody. Maybe you're one of those people who haven't forgiven somebody. Let me just talk briefly what happens with unforgiveness and why God is clear we should forgive people. Firstly, one, unforgiveness will imprison you in your past. Unforgiveness will imprison you in your past. As long as you fail to forgive an offender, you are tied to that moment in your past. The unforgiveness will keep that pain alive. The unforgiveness never lets us heal that wound. And as we go through our lives, we'll keep being reminded of what they have done to you, stirring up pain again in us and making us progressively angrier. Let me ask you, what's the point of doing that to yourself? What's the point of keeping that pain alive in yourself? God told us to forgive because he wants us to know what it is to live life in all its fullness and love life in all its greatness. Second thing that unforgiveness produces is bitterness. We become bitter people. The cumulative effect of remembering without forgiveness is that you become a bitter person. Have you ever met a bitter person? I won't give the name of this person, but there was somebody in one of my previous churches when I was a minister, and I did something to upset them. Hey, that's what ministers do. You know, my job as a pastor is to afflict the comfortable and comfort the afflicted. You know, and I did something and I upset this person. A year later, she came up to me and said, "You know, Ian, I will never, ever forgive you." And I had to say to the pastor, "Look, you're damaging yourself. You're damaging yourself." And yes, she was a bitter person. And however right we think we are about the justice that we want to see, not forgiving is damaging us. It's damaging us. It's damaging who we are. The more we recite the memory of what a person has done, the more we become bitter. And it shapes us as a people, person. And bitterness is not just a sin, it's an affliction. It will affect our whole life, and it will start to affect us physically, our health, as long as everything. So the second reason to forgive is so we don't become bitter. And the third reason is it opens a door for other negative things to happen. Satan can just come in because God's not glorified. God's not sovereign. There is evil can come in. And I could spend some time in this, reading passages like Ephesians chapter 4, 26, 27. Be angry, yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. And do not give the devil an opportunity, the Bible says. And it's no exaggeration to say the one place that Satan gets the most ground is when we've not forgiven. And fourthly and finally in this section, unforgiveness hinders our relationship with God. Because by not forgiving, we are sinning. Now, I'm saying all this because in a moment we're going to look at how Peter was forgiven by Jesus. But I felt it was really important this morning that we just stop to think. Have we got people in our lives we have not forgiven? Have we in our lives got people we have not forgiven? Is it today, the day when we should say, "Okay, God, let's call it a day. Let's let it go. Let's stop being unforgiving people"? I'm going to pray. And as I pray, I want us to just maybe think about those people we've not forgiven. And for our own sake, so that we don't become bitter people, so that Satan can't move in, so that we're not imprisoned in our past, I invite you not to call out, not to do anything public. This is between you and God. But I invite you, is today the day you're going to let it go? And you're going to be free of that thing that has been holding you back. Lord God, you taught us to forgive. You showed us what it was to be forgiven. And you have our best interests at your heart. Lord, right now, in this time, remind us of those people we've not forgiven. And help us to forgive them right now. Help us, Lord, to let go. And help us, Lord, to find a way of moving on in good relationship again. Heavenly Father, come and strengthen us. In Jesus' name, amen. Barbara read that reading from John chapter 21 and the story of Peter and Jesus having that conversation on a beach. What do we know about that story? Well, let's just go back a bit. Peter had an encounter with Jesus. This had happened some weeks earlier when Jesus was telling his disciples what was going to happen to him. And Peter got quite irritated. And he looked at Jesus and says, "Jesus, you are not going to do that." And Peter was told by Jesus, quite firmly but lovingly, "Hey, you can't stop me. But however strong and brave you think you are, let me tell you something. There will come a day when before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times." And Peter would say, "I would never deny you, Jesus." And he was quite clear about it. He would never deny Jesus. He would never say anything against Jesus. But of course, we know the story, don't we? And the story was, after Jesus was arrested, a servant girl came up to Peter and said, "You were with that Jesus." And he said, "No, I was not." Again, he was challenged. "You were with Jesus." And he said, "No, I was not." Although he used some strong words, we understood. "I'm not going to do that today." And a third time, somebody came up to Peter and said, "You were with Jesus." And Peter was so angry. "No, I was not." Cock-a-doodle-doo. Peter remembered what Jesus had said. Peter was devastated. He was devastated because when Jesus needed him most, he let him down. You can read that story in John chapter 18, verses 15 onwards. But we come to John 21 and verses 15 onwards. And we have another story. This time, Jesus has come. They'd had breakfast together after that amazing miracle we looked at last week with the fish. And you remember we talked about how Jesus helped the disciples discover where the fish were with that small voice. But there was that unfinished business. You can imagine it, can't you? "He's going to say something soon," was thinking Peter. "Jesus is going to say something soon." And you can imagine that moment. Is he going to say it now? "No, okay, I'll eat a bit more fish." "Is he going to say it now?" "No. Oh, no, I can have some more bread." And they're talking, and Peter knows at some point Jesus is going to mention it. But we see Jesus has already forgiven Peter. But he's going to help Peter. And so he asks him a question. He doesn't say, "Peter, why did you let me down?" I think that's the question I might have wanted to ask, mightn't it? I don't know about you. When somebody let me down when I needed the most, I might want to say, "Why did you let me down? Or why did you do that? Why did you say that?" These were all the questions we might have come up with. But Jesus simply asks Peter, Simon Peter, do you love me? It's a simple question. Simon Peter, do you love me? And Peter says, yes, Lord. You know I love you. And Jesus replies, feed my lambs. Feed my lambs. In one way, you could say Peter was being given the job to look after the new followers of Jesus, the feeding of the lambs, the young sheep. He was being given a job. So Peter, who had let Jesus down when he most and proved himself to be unreliable, Jesus was not saying, well, I can't trust you anymore. As soon as Peter said, I love you, Jesus gave him a task. He included Peter into the family, into the mission that Jesus is about. Can you imagine that? Think about the person who let you down last and you think, well, I'm not going to trust them with anything. But Jesus did. He trusted Peter. And then he said to Peter again, Peter, do you love me? Well, Peter was being asked a second time, do you love me? And Peter said, yes, Lord, you know I love you. Take care of my sheep. Peter, who had let Jesus down, was now being commissioned as a pastor to take care of Jesus' sheep, the people who love Jesus. Peter, who had messed up, was so loved and forgiven that he was being given a responsibility to follow Jesus and serve him, even with his brokenness. Well, not only has he got to care for the new people, believers now, he's got to be a pastor. And then it happens. By the way, Peter, says Jesus, do you love me? A third time, he's asked. Oh, three times he said to the people he didn't know Jesus. Three times Peter asks him, do you love me? And Peter's still a bit bumpy as a character. I like Peter. He gets cross. Lord, you know I love you. How many more times are you going to ask me? He probably said under his breath. But that's not recorded. And Peter is given that thing. Feed my sheep. Peter was appointed as a teacher, an apostle of God's church. Peter, the man who messed up. The Peter, the man who let Jesus down. The Peter, the man who needed forgiveness, not only received total forgiveness, he was given the three most important tasks to look after the new believers, to be a pastor and to be a teacher. And then Jesus used, down towards the end of that passage, in verse 19, Jesus simply said to Peter, follow me. Follow me. If you go back to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4, you see that this is the first encounter that Jesus had with Peter. He was called Simon Peter at the time. Jesus saw the two brothers in verses 18 to 20 in Matthew 4. And Andrew, his brothers, they were putting their nets into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. So Jesus had begun his relationship with Peter with those two words, "Follow me." And to the words that he finished after forgiving Peter, commissioning Peter, were the same two words, "Follow me." But these two words were going to have significant effect upon the life of Peter. Because not only was he going to be caring for the new believers and being a pastor and a teacher, he was going to be an apostle. He was going to go and he was going to lead the church. Day of Pentecost was going to be his moment where he was going to stand up in front of thousands and thousands of people as they were questioning what was going on. And Peter was going to be the one who's going to stand there, the same man who could not stand up to a single servant girl a few weeks before was going to stand up and talk about how amazing Jesus is. Because he was totally forgiven and he was totally released. And I want to ask you, do you know if you're forgiven by Jesus? Do you know that? As we go forward, we see Peter's ministry getting a reboot, the day of Pentecost being Peter at his best. And we pause and we ask ourselves, do we believe that God can use us? Or are we so wound up with our failures and our weaknesses that we say, Peter, God can't use us? Jesus forgave. He commissioned. And I want to ask you today, what's the small voice of God's Spirit saying into you today? As Jesus asks you, do you love him? Are you responding, yes, Lord, you know I love you? And if you are you hearing his commission for your life? That might be a commission to do, get involved in something, to be something for God. But it comes when we hear the small, still voice and the command or the call of Jesus to be his hands, to be his heart, to bless the world.